Welcome to the Intelligent Investing Podcast, where modern portfolio theory can suck it. A student of the school of Graham and Doddsville and a clergy member of the Church of Warren Buffett. Here's your host, Eric Schlein.
Hi, this is Eric Schlein. You are listening to the Intelligent Investing Podcast. We have Dan Shum back on today. As some of you may know, he is the founder and writer of the blog NoNameStocks.com. Welcome back to the show, Dan.
Thanks for having me again.
Yeah, no, thanks for coming on. I'm glad you wanted to come back. If I recall, that was your very first podcast that you ever did.
It was, yeah.
I didn't scare you too much to come back.
No, it was good, and I listened to it, and I thought it sounded pretty good, so... Yeah. I mean, I'm still nervous about it, but it's going good.
That's all right. So anyway, what did you want to talk to us about today?
Yeah. So this stock one that I mentioned last time we talked was Fortran Corp, FRTN.
Yeah. So some interesting stuff has been going on with that, huh?
Yes. Yeah. So some stuff that I just found out in the past few days. So when you and I talked last a month or so ago, I had bought this stock, just a little summary for people who didn't listen to that one or who need a refresher. I had bought around like 4 cents like earlier this year. And then the stock had kind of mysteriously climbed up to like the 35, 40 cent range with no news. And so I just was kind of waiting to see. And then a few days after you and I talked, there came out a press release, some shareholder update. And so Fortran... just to go back, Fortran is a company. They're fully filing with OTC Markets. They do like voice and data communication stuff. They also have this cooling tower business. And the stock had dropped from like 60-ish cents where it was throughout 2016 all the way down to 3-4 cents. And there wasn't really that I could see a business reason why. So I bought it. And then... without anyone knowing, really, it turns out that some shareholders had sued the company. And so this also goes back to what we were talking about with Hapag,
right?
So some shareholders got together, met with a lawyer, and they took the company to court, Fortran to court, asked for a whole bunch of stuff. But basically, they said the CEO was like siphoning off money and not paying off debts properly. And so they took him to court asking for a whole bunch of things. They wanted to know any notes from any acquisitions. They wanted to know annual meeting notes. They wanted records relating to issuing of shares and all kinds of stuff. And happened.
Were they
like
actually
in
holding
March.
Annual meetings?
I don't know. I mean, I doubt it.
All right.
I don't know.
Interesting. Okay.
Maybe they were. I haven't looked actually, but they certainly weren't posting meeting minutes or something. So this company is in North Carolina. So so these guys took them to court like in March, and I think this is what was behind the stock rise. So either somebody saw the court filings or it was insiders buying in, but basically the court sided with these shareholders and said the Fortran has to release all these records and stuff. So they didn't side with them on every single request, but on a lot of them. And these shareholders alleged that the CEO, to quote, mismanaging Fortran and misappropriating, misapplying, implying, improperly using their property and assets. He was using the assets for his own benefit. This is the CEO issuing.
How did they suspect that before they filed this lawsuit? Do you know?
They're all shareholders. So some of them had lent money to the company in the past. This is like 30% of the common these guys own.
Okay.
So they know the company, and I don't know. They made some really specific claims in this lawsuit. So that's also part of the reason the court sided with them. So the stock was running up, and then the company put out this press release, saying that the CEO, so I hadn't seen the company didn't say anything about this lawsuit. or court action. And then all of a sudden the company put out this press release that the CEO was resigning, CFO was staying on, and then there was all new board members and a new CEO and new chairman. And then looking through the lawsuit, all those people are the same people who took them to court. So it seems they won and the CEO is out. I don't know what happens to his shares. I guess he just holds them. One of the claims in there was about like issuing himself shares of preferred. So I don't know if that went anywhere, but yeah. So the company's press release they put out, they said that they wanted to, because they've now not been filing since like September of last year was the last financials they put out. And so they say the company is currently in the process of completing its statements and expects to become current and become fully reporting and all this.
Interesting.
So that, yeah, that I think is what drove the stock increase. But then the other day on a message board, I saw someone post something about how Fortran is in bankruptcy. So I thought, because this has now become a pretty big position for me because it's gone up so much.
Yeah.
So it turns out this company, TCA Global Credit Master Fund, had loaned Fortran money years ago in 2014. I think it was only like $1 million or something. But then, I don't know what, Fortran didn't pay it back. And so this company sued Fortran in Florida court like a year later in 2015. And now, just the other day, TCA Global has filed an involuntary Chapter 11 bankruptcy petition against Fortran. I don't know. Do you know what any of this stuff is? Do you know about bankruptcy law?
I don't. I mean, I know the very, very basics.
Yeah, so I saw
I'm
that.
I'm not a lawyer.
Right, me either. I'm just like Googling around all this stuff. But so I saw that. I was just like, oh, God, that's not good. But so I Googled, like, what's an involuntary Chapter 11 bankruptcy petition? And it sounds like this is a way for a creditor, so in this case TCA Global Fund, trying to, like, push Fortran into bankruptcy, I guess.
And yeah, they want their money back.
Yeah, they somehow think that in bankruptcy, though, they'll have better luck of getting their money than through the normal course of business, which I guess is fair because they've been trying to get their money from Fortran. But also, according to what I found online, for this bankruptcy petition, involuntary bankruptcy petition to work, they have to somehow prove that the company is generally not able to pay their debt. So it's not like a specific thing. So Fortran can't be paying some people and not others, you know?
Yeah, I mean, from my understanding, it's pretty rare to have an involuntary bankruptcy, unless there's obviously that case where they just can't pay anything back and then it goes right to the courts.
Right. That's what I'm thinking. This is more of a bargaining chip, but I don't know. So now, so that was just like a week or two ago.
Well, it might be worth getting in touch with some of those 30% shareholder group.
That's what I was thinking. I should contact that.
They'll probably have a better idea of the situation than you or I would.
Yeah, and sometimes those people are pretty willing to talk too because they want to get their story out and they want to get people on their side.
Exactly.
So, yeah, I'll have to try. But I'm thinking they should be able to argue at least on this involuntary Chapter 11. Like, look, we've already made big changes at the company.
Has the company released financials now after this lawsuit or no?
Oh, no, not that I saw. The last they filed was like in, they put out an NT10Q, which is like, you know, they're late on filing in February 2018. So the last stuff they filed was in like December, and that was for the September 2017 quarter.
Yeah, you know, I wonder if, even if you also reach out to them, if they would just be willing to send you some financial statements and then you could put it on your blog and I could put it up on the show notes or something like
yeah.
that.
Yeah. They might. I'll have to contact them. I'll try.
Yeah, if you do that, let me know.
Okay. I've tried through their website, like info@fortran.com.
Good luck with that. Yeah, I feel like that stuff doesn't often work.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes I'll try to like guess the person's email address just based on their name and the Fortran Corp.
Yeah. You could also contact through LinkedIn too sometimes. That's a method I've done.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. I'll have to look for them.
Yeah,
all their names are in the court filings and stuff, so it's there.
Right. No, I took a brief overview of the court filings before we spoke today.
That was good. Yeah, it was like it gave me a rosy feeling inside when I see these shareholders win. You know, and then the other interesting thing with the court filing is then the court said Fortran has to pay these shareholders legal fees.
Yeah, yeah. So, I did find it interesting though that in North Carolina, the judge made it very clear that this right to look at to inspect books and records was only for qualified shareholders.
Yeah, that was interesting. It said you had to be a shareholder for 6 months or something.
Yeah, there was a few conditions which I thought was interesting. I don't remember seeing that before in other situations.
I haven't seen that before, no, either.
It might just be a North Carolina thing.
Who knows? They're all different.
Yeah.
But yeah, so now it's the waiting game. See what this new company does, or new owners, and I'll have to try to contact them and see if they'll give me any information.
Okay. Yeah, please do. That's interesting. You find some interesting stuff, Dan. I'll give you that for sure.
Yeah.
You think there's any chance that we could get the that stockbroker that you were talking about last time to come on the show with you?
I can ask him if he wants. I don't know. He's like I've told him in the past, like, man, I should tell people that these ideas are from you or whatever. Like, put out your name, you might get clients. Like, but mm-hmm. He doesn't care. He doesn't want the publicity. He's had his clients and made his money, and so but yeah, I can ask him.
Okay. Cool. Well, keep us posted, Dan, with how this all transpires.
Okay, I will.
All right, great. All right, well, I will, I'm sure we'll talk again soon.
All right, great. Talk to you later.
Thanks, Dan. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Intelligent Investing Podcast with Eric Schlein. If you'd like to connect with Eric for questions, comments, feedback, ideas, or to inquire about being on the show, please contact Eric at intelligentinvesting@gmail.com. So, in the words of Charlie Munger, I have nothing to add.